laughing like I'm joking. All right. But anyway, yeah, so this week and next week, and then after that, we will start a different study, but still on the same theme of sharing the gospel with others. So we will talk about that more probably at the end of next week. We'll talk about what's coming up next. All right, so we're second to last study. So let's see if you remember any of the three general techniques for handling people. All right, we may have to keep going. Don't criticize. Excellent. Fine. I always forget to turn this on. Don't criticize, condemn, or complain. So that's the first one and one of the most important, because that's what turns people off about whether you're talking to them socially or whether you're trying to talk to them about Jesus. Whenever you start off in this way, you immediately cancel the effectiveness of what it is that you're about to do. Okay? Showing appreciation for other people and what they've done and for their background, not just them in general. And the main thing that all this is a summary for a lot of what we talk about in this study, is that you can't make somebody change their opinion unless they want to. And so the goal of all of this is not to try to convince somebody to be a Christian, but to make them want to be a Christian, to make them see the value, what Jesus has to offer, what he's offering as an alternative to what the world has to offer. And so unless the person that you're talking to wants that, you're not going to have any success. And so the goal of all of this is to help them see what being a Christian is all about, and that it's a good thing, and that it might be different than what they've encountered in the past, either from individuals or what they've seen in the media as far as what church is or what being a Christian is, and help them see what it's really like. Okay, then we talked about part two, six ways to make people like you. So if you're being a salesperson, you're trying to get people to like you because you want them to buy what it is you're selling. As a Christian, you've got to develop a relationship with somebody. You don't generally have an effective conversation with a complete stranger on this issue. And so generally what you do is you build a relationship over time. And so the way that you make people like you is to be interested in them, because they're interested in them. They're not as interested in you. So if you're interested in them, that gives you something to talk about, because you have a subject of mutual interest, them. They're interested in them, and you are. You remember to do this in a positive way, to keep a positive attitude, not as being critical of the type of life that they're living, but presenting this not as a book of rules that they need to follow or else they're going to burn for eternity, but rather presenting this as a positive, that being a Christian isn't a negative. It's not a list of things you can't do. It is a list of opportunities that you have. And remembering to use their name is key in anything that you're doing. And it's part of that being genuinely interested. If somebody introduces themselves and you're getting into the Bible study and you don't remember their name, that kind of tells them, okay, they're just talking to me because that's what they were told to do, not because they care about me or they're interested in me as a person. If they are, they'll remember who I am. Okay? Being a good listener, letting the other person talk is key. Because if you're not letting them talk, you don't know where they are spiritually. You don't know their background. You don't know what they know, what they believe, what they grew up understanding. And then once you find out about the other person, you talk in terms of their interests. You relate this to them personally, what their life is like, their life, their work, their hobbies. All of that can be incorporated in this discussion, and you can fit being a Christian into how their life is going right now. And you can see where the spot that God wants to fill in their life, and probably the empty hole that already exists in their life that God is waiting to fill. And making the person feel important, that they're important to you, that their soul is important to you. Not just important, but that it's an emergency. That's what this study is all about, is seeing this as an emergency, and that you care about their soul. Okay, then we launched into the meat of the lesson here, the how to win people to your way of thinking. So now that you've built the relationship with them and they have a positive attitude, now that this is how you go about changing their mind on a subject, whether it's buying the car that you're selling or whether it is becoming a Christian. So, you can't win an argument. That's what we said. First of all, you want to avoid arguments because there's no way you're going to win that. Even if you win it, you've lost the person because they're going to be resentful that you proved them wrong, and especially on a minor issue. So that's not the way you go about it. You're going to see, as you listen to them, some points of disagreement, some things that they don't have a full understanding with about the Bible. And that's okay. You had some things you didn't know about the Bible before you became a Christian too. They don't have to know everything in the Bible to understand how to be a Christian. So you don't want to have those arguments up front. That's something, a subject for a later discussion. Okay? So show respect for their opinions. Even if they're wrong, you don't point that out right away. You let that be a gradual realization for them that they're wrong. As a result of study, the only way they're going to accept that they're wrong is for people to believe that they were wrong on the topic. And the only way to prove that is through the use of the Bible. And to have them accept, okay, I never read this book before. I never read this verse before. I never understood this verse before. And now I realize I'm wrong. And you may find out that you're wrong on a topic. It's been known to happen. It has with me. It probably will be with you. Whenever you discover that you remembered something incorrectly, that they said, I think this verse is here, and you said, I think it's here, and they were right, be sure that you acknowledge that you're wrong. Just to set up the precedent that it's okay to be wrong. And that way they're more willing to admit that they're wrong if you're willing to admit that you're wrong. And you say, we're doing this study together, and we're both learning as a result. Okay, you always start in a friendly way. This is not an adversarial relationship that you have with the person. You're both on the same side. And you start out in the areas of agreement that you have. You've listened to them, they've talked, they've given you their background, and you've picked up on some things that they have right now, that whether it's that they believe in God, that they believe Jesus is the Son of God, that He was the Messiah, that the Bible is the Word of God. There's at some point here, there's some agreement. If there's not, you've got to really start from square one. If they don't even acknowledge that there's a God, you know, that's starting very early in the study, but you can at least come to some kind of a starting point, of fundamentals, of things that you agree on. And that's the case with any disagreement that you have with somebody. There's some point at which you agree. And you start there, and that's the foundation. In all of this, you're not going to make much progress preaching at somebody. You let the other person do a lot of the talking. As I said before, people tend to change their minds while they're talking, not while you're talking. So, it all comes from asking a lot of questions. What do you think about this? We just read this passage. What do you think it says? As they're explaining it to you, they're absorbing what they just read. They're analyzing what they just read and forming their opinion about what they just read. So, the idea has to be theirs. They have to realize what it is that they believe. When you're studying with somebody, they have to come to the understanding of, okay, this is new information to me. I didn't realize this. And now I know, because not because you told me, but because I read it in here. So it's a whole lot like the woman at the well. Whenever she went and talked to the people in town and said, this could be the Messiah out here. And they came and they said, now we believe because we understand it too. We came to the same conclusion you did. So it's not just because you told me, but it's because we really believe that. And that's the same evolution of thinking that you want in somebody that you're studying. But you need to try to see things from their point of view. They're coming into this with some preconceived notions, with some baggage that they grew up with, things that they were taught by somebody that they greatly respected, parents, a spiritual leader. And if it's wrong, that's not easy for them to change. It's not easy for you to change the things that you grew up with. If your mom taught you something when you were young, you may grow up and realize, okay, my hair doesn't grow faster because I cut it, even though that's what mom said. But it's hard to get that out of your mind sometimes because you've believed it your whole life, and then you find out it's not true. And so that's a gradual process. Don't try to speed that process. That's something that it takes a while for people to change their deeply held beliefs. So don't get impatient and think, I've been studying with this person now for 3 weeks. They should have been a Christian by now. People absorb information and internalize it at different speeds. So don't try to rush. And be sympathetic with things. There's going to be opinions that they have. There's going to be thoughts that they have that are going to get in the way, perhaps, of your study. Going to be things, and we talked last week, I think, that it may be the fact that they say, you know, now that I see what it takes to be a Christian, I realize my parents didn't do this. And that may be a difficulty for them. If they say, you know, I'm studying this stuff and I'm realizing there are people in my life that are in the same boat, that haven't accepted the gospel, and some of them have already passed on, and they don't have this option anymore. That may be a difficulty for you. So be sympathetic with that and realize that may be a difficulty and a stumbling block for them. So help them through it, sympathize, have them think about that person that you care about that you're realizing might not have been saved. Would they still want you to be saved? Were the situation reversed, would you want them to be saved? So think about it in those terms. Appeal to the nobler motives. Realize it's not about what we want. It's not about what we think. It's not about our opinion. It's about what the Bible says, what God says that is true. So it's not a matter of I'm right, you're wrong. It's a matter of God's right. And if we don't believe what he said, we're all wrong. Dramatize your ideas. Tell stories. Tell personal anecdotes. Things that have been told to you. Anytime you can make ideas come to life and not just be sterile thoughts on a piece of paper, it's going to help out. That's why they make books into movies. Because you read the book, but now sometimes you watch the movie and this whole world came to life. Before, it was in your imagination. But sometimes when you see the movie, you're like, wow, now I really get a better picture of what was going on because you're able to visualize it. And throw down a challenge. And that can take a lot of different forms. But for people to change their way of thinking, sometimes it requires a challenge. So if you're in the working world, it may be, you know, you're in competition with this other team to try to sell the most widgets or whatever. But if there's a challenge there, that inspires people. And the challenge here might be, if I can show you the value of being a Christian, will you accept it? If I can show you the process of becoming a Christian, is that something you'd be willing to follow? There are challenges that you can accomplish in bringing this about. And it may be a challenge of, if I can show you that in the scripture why your behavior right now is not helping you, would you be willing to accept it? Okay, and we started this part last week, how to be a leader. As the study progresses, you're going to be taking the leadership role if you're trying to teach somebody. But it's going to be a subtle leadership role. This isn't about being the boss and telling the other person what to do. This is about being an effective leader. And these are useful in any situation where you're going to be a leader. You start with appreciation. This is going to overlap a little bit with some of the other things that we talked about. But if you're the leader, you've got to praise and show appreciation for what people are doing if you want them to be loyal to you and to continue to follow you. And so in studying the Bible, this becomes with praising the progress that they've made, the things that they remember. Whenever you remember that the three fundamental techniques for handling people at the beginning, that's great. That's what should happen when you're studying with somebody, is they begin to recall things on here. If it's remembering that Luke is a doctor, that was one thing Charles learned in the study, and he would remind me every week that Luke was a doctor. But it was something that he learned, and it was, you know, at the time it was a source of pride that he remembers this fact. And it's going to be that way with people you're studying with. Acknowledge the fact and appreciate the progress that they're making. Okay? When somebody is making a mistake, remember one of the other points was, you don't just tell people they're wrong. Whenever you're a leader, help them to realize that they're wrong. And you can do that by talking about your own mistakes. Sometimes you're going to realize that you're studying with somebody and they're having the same issue that you struggled with earlier. And so it's easier for them to realize if you say, I had that same problem whenever I was a Christian. Or, my wife, my mother, my brother struggled with that same issue. I say? Oh, yeah, before I was a Christian, or before they became a Christian. And this is what they had to do. You know, it may be something like, it's hard to just eliminate something out of your life. Sometimes it's easier to substitute something and do something instead of what you were doing before. If you're used to going out on Saturday night and getting drunk, maybe it's easier if you substitute a positive activity in place of that, so that you're not sitting at home thinking, all my friends are out getting drunk, and here I am sitting at home being miserable, trying to be a Christian. That's not what you want, is for them to feel like they're missing out. They should be understanding what it is that they're gaining, that they're not hurting their life by being a Christian, they're helping. That all of these rules that God provides us are all because that's what's in our best interest. And that whenever we don't follow them, we see that we're creating problems for ourselves. All right, so that catches us up now to where we were. This review is getting longer and longer every week. So now that it's approaching half the class. But now we're going to finish up the rest of the points here on being a leader. Okay. Nobody likes the boss that just goes around shouting orders. And so it's always better to ask questions instead of giving orders. So instead of saying, all right, this is what we're going to study this week whenever we get together on your personal Bible study. Instead, you can ask questions. What is it that you're struggling with? What did we talk about last time that you've been thinking about over this past week? And that you what's going on in your life that has been a struggle? What's standing between you and being a Christian right now? If you're asking those questions, now that it's not like, okay, well, this person's going to talk at me for an hour this week about the subject they've chosen. Now it's about the other person. You're putting them first. You're thinking about them. You want to help them with what's going on in their life. In the process, you may work around to the things you had in mind on studying that week. But if you start by getting them involved in the discussion, now then, this is what you call an academia of, this is student-led instruction. This is where students are involved in their own instruction. They're not just listening to a lecture. So if you ask those questions, you can kind of gradually and subtly get that across. Yes, sir. Yes.
So in other words, all the times that I do with those is I'll do the breakfast schedule, okay? What questions do you have today? What we talked about last time we had you. But there's sometimes when they'll go, I don't have you right now. Mm-hmm. And so you don't have something to go with and you're gonna be sitting there going, okay, so what are we gonna talk about again?
Right.
So always have something ready.
Right. Oh, of course. Yeah, you've got your lesson plan already, but you don't want to get focused on that and not on the person that you're teaching. Right. And so if you say, well, I've got some things that I think we could talk about, and that may spark something in your mind. And if at any time there's something that enters your mind that is you're dwelling on, and so it's causing you to not be able to focus on what we're studying on, feel free to bring it up. And let's talk about that instead. So it's easy when you're kind of OCD like I am to think, I've got to get through this material today. And sometimes it just doesn't work out that way. There's something else that comes up that's more important. So it happened in the school environment sometimes, and it happens even more so in this environment where you're teaching, because here this is something that is critical not just to their life but for their eternal life, and so it really needs to be focused on them and what they need. Yes. He didn't talk at people. He talked to people and started where they were and started to teach them. Okay? Let the other person save face. If you're dealing in a boss-employee relationship, you don't ever want to just bring the person down. You're going to discourage them. And it's the same whenever you're teaching the gospel. And this goes back to sometimes people are going to be wrong on subjects. But you want them to save face. It was very seldom in class that I would tell somebody, no, you're wrong. If I did, it was more in a teasing way on the person where we kind of turned it into a joke. But if I ask a question and somebody gave a different answer, sometimes I would say, well, that's the right answer, but to a different question. And so we'd talk about, okay, you know, if this were the case, that would be correct. But in this case, now it's a little different. So you let the person save face and not just constantly tell them, you're doing this wrong. Because that's just going to ruin their enthusiasm for this study. So they've got to feel like, I'm doing things right, I'm making progress, that this is important. You praise the slightest improvement, and you praise every improvement on whenever you're doing this. If you've ever had a new employee that you're trying to break in, they're going to mess up almost everything they try to do right at first because they don't know. They haven't been there. They don't have the experience. Sometimes they lack knowledge. But as people learn stuff and get better at stuff, then you start to praise them and you start to acknowledge the things that they're doing right. You've really come a long way in the 2 days you've been here, in the week that you've been here. I know that I can now trust you on this particular thing. All those things help the person feel good, feel like they're making progress. So recognize when somebody has realized, they've come to some epiphany about the Bible or about faith on here, acknowledge that and make a big deal about it, because it is a big deal. It's not easy for people to make a big change in the way that they think. So whenever they come to one of those giant leaps in your study, acknowledge how important that is. Pause here for thoughts and comments. All right, you always want to build up the person, give them a fine reputation to live up to. And Dale Carnegie has lots of stories about this, of how you made somebody feel important, how you made them feel like they were doing the right thing. And this is important in being a Christian, too, when you realize people are evaluating Christianity based on what they see you do. They know you're a Christian. You may be the only active practicing Christian that they're aware of in their life. And so they're going to base their idea of Christianity on what they see in you. And so it's good to instill that in somebody, especially if during the course of your study they become a Christian. Then help them to realize it's important to do things that other people are going to see, that if you're a Christian and you haven't changed a thing and you're still living your life in the way that you were before, that, you know, right or not, people are going to evaluate you based on that, and they're going to evaluate Christianity based on the actions of people who are Christian. So just remind people that you're representing more than just you when you're out. I always told that as a military member. When you're off base in uniform, people don't see you, they see the United States military. And so you need to conduct yourself accordingly. And so that's important too. It's important whenever you're dealing with people to realize that the impression you make is a lasting impression.
And it affects everybody.
Right. Because from the mass media, a lot of times people have the impression that Christians hate sinners. That you hate people that aren't living the Christian life. And nothing could be farther from the truth. And that's what this class is all about, is recognizing that people are in trouble because we care about them, not because we're trying to keep a record of how many souls we've converted. Because we haven't converted any. The Holy Spirit may have converted people that you've studied with, but we need to keep that in mind, that people do evaluate Christians as a whole based on the actions they see of individuals. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. Sometimes strangers or co-workers or our acquaintances are nicer to us than family. Right, yeah. He was known to get... Yeah. Yeah, there's such a thing as righteous indignation, I guess. But yeah, that's exactly right. There are always people watching and judging. And sometimes... with you just a second, Sharp. And sometimes when they see you handle a situation differently than the world would have, that's a changing moment for them. Yes. About the cop that pulled over this car, and he said, "Why'd you pull me over?" "Well, I thought it was a stolen car." "Why'd you think that?" "Well, you had all these Christian bumper stickers, but I saw you flipping people off in traffic and everything, so I figured it must be a stolen car." But people do see that. Okay, so encourage people. You know, help. Don't have people think that being a Christian is an insurmountable task. That, you know, they look at, you know, Mother Teresa. Okay, I've got to overnight, you know, turn my life and be this model of love and caring and everything. And, you know, help people to realize, you know, this is incremental steps on here. That it's not the kind of thing where you just instantly become a different person. You can instantly become a forgiven person, but you're still going to be the same person, and change is gradual. And, you know, sometimes you're still going to struggle with some things because this was important to you last week. It's hard for it to not to still be somewhat important to you this week now that you're a Christian. Acknowledge that you're gaining something from this relationship too, because you will. Anytime you develop this relationship with somebody where you're able to talk to them about your innermost thoughts and feelings, which is what Christianity should be with you, there's no way that's not going to affect you as well as them. And so be willing to acknowledge that. You know, you can tell them, as a result of this study, I've been encouraged to do a better job. And I've realized, I see the difference that Christ made in your life, and that's encouraged me to realize that Jesus can help me with the problems that I'm having as well. You know, that life doesn't become problem-free because you're a Christian. Sometimes your problems can increase when you become a Christian. And you need that encouragement a bit as much as they do. But having a successful Bible study with somebody that is listening to what you're saying, and they're trying to make changes based on what the Bible's telling them, is a very encouraging thing for you as well. Whenever you're trying to change somebody, which is what leadership is all about and what this Bible study is all about, the person has to be happy about the change. It can't be something that they're going into grudgingly. All right, I guess I can become a Christian, but it means I got to give up this and this and this. And you know, it's going to be a struggle because I really, really like this stuff. That's a difficult way to enter into this relationship. It's like marrying somebody, realizing, okay, they have all these expectations of me and I know I can't meet them. That's not a good way to start that relationship either. So the person needs to be happy about becoming a Christian, or else they're not ready to become a Christian. If they haven't seen how important this is in their life, then don't rush them into it, because they're not at that point yet. If they're not seeing what Jesus is going to do for them and see how much more valuable that is than the petty things that they would have to stop doing, then give them more time. Give them all the time that they need. Encourage them and talk them through that. They, in the end, whether it's buying a new Volvo or accepting Christianity, if you're not happy about this decision, it's probably the wrong decision for you. You ever seen somebody that felt that you kind of got the idea, well, you're dragging me into this Christian thing? Sometimes you do. Okay. Guess I'll be that way. Like, okay, I think we need to talk some more. Exactly. Right. Right.
Yeah. If you have to compromise the truth,
right,
they accept the Christian based on the compromise, and they're not a true Christian.
Correct. Yes. You're,
so you gotta be careful about that, because that's what a lot of people do. You know, what will make you happy, all of that will tell you.
Right.
You're not doing it in favor.
That's exactly right. They should be happy about becoming a Christian and becoming a follower of Christ, not entering a contractual agreement. Okay, well, I'll become a Christian, but I'm not giving up this.
Yeah,
right, that's true.
But so when you go back to John 6, Jesus was teaching one of the most difficult things that he talked about, you know, accepting him and pursuing him. He says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Mm-hmm. And what did John tell us? On hearing this, some of the disciples said, even the people that were already following him said, this is the hardest thing, we can accept it. Mm-hmm. And as he went on, then it came to the point, I think it's verse 66, where he says, from that point, any of his
Yes, yes. You're not trying to make them happy about this. You're trying to see that they're at the point where they're already happy about accepting whatever Jesus has.
And then it's someone better than what they want.
Right. And that they have every reason to be happy about it, because you're not giving up anything that is helpful to you. The only things that you're putting aside are things that are destructive in your life. Yeah.
I think a lot of it gets back to, so like, not everybody just leaves around. Mm-hmm. And so I have a few friends that I've been at least three that crept in mind that are not taught to Christ followers. Mm-hmm. And so trying to lead them, it's like, you know, you don't have to be able to lead before. And so, oh, I used to go that on the farm. And one thing that breaks my heart is they say, well, we have a woman who likes that self touch. I can't be myself. And so a lot of people that come to church, especially new people, if you see someone new walk in the door, you don't know what to do. And you don't know, they're probably scared to walk into something that they've never been through in their life. And so I think, like, being a leader for someone and trying to help them do it, you have to realize that they're not going to get it all right at once. And you have to be willing to say, I accept you for who you are, to walk with them through that journey. Because if you say, well, you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong, you're doing that wrong, then you're like, well, you know, you're judging me, I'm backing away, and that can cause, like, them to not be able to do it or whatever. So I feel like you just have to be really gentle on how you, like, approach someone and how you talk them through the process, because they have the most to trust you. And the more they want to trust you, the more they're going to open up, the more you can help them. But I think when David bothers you the most is when you might be a Christian and know how to walk in that, but that other person has help doesn't, and you just look for it. You have to help them differently, because that seems to be even push until I love them to die now. If they walk away, it breaks my heart, because I feel like they're being treated so much.
And that's the point we've been trying to make here, is that people have to come to their own decision, and they have to be ready to make that decision. And when you try to push too hard, and all you do is criticize, condemn, and complain, they don't see the positive aspects. Here, all they see is a bunch of negative people that don't want me to... Right. And if they're not currently Christians, they don't have the same commandments that we do. They don't know any better. That's exactly right.
So. Mm-hmm.
Right. They have to have the need inside, where they realize, you know, I'm headed down a self-destructive path. If they don't see that path, then that's what you need to help them see, is that this isn't good for you.
Well,
you know.
The better, the only way you can show that to me is by being a good example.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably one of the biggest things.
Yeah.
Seeing you, you know, mm-hmm. Wow, we don't really feel like we're going to have to be able to see you, and know that I was reaching you, and you didn't condemn me, and judge me, and put me down, and that I was wrong to go on with you at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yep,
need that relationship first.
I think how we learn that all the Lord is being the best positive that we know. And not only mm-hmm. by changing anything, like see, having grown up in the fire brimstone type of environment where you have a revival and death, happy teenager now crying because I got to do some now I'm going to hell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that type of thing.
Yeah, Satan is the enemy, not the sinner. And that's what I said earlier, that's the impression that people have as Christians is that they hate sinners instead of they hate sin.
Well, that's the thing I said at the Westboro Baptist Church that follows.
Well, it was instructive to see that that's how some people think Christians are. And it helps us to have a little introspection to say, am I being like that? Am I going around calling people names and rather than trying to attract them to Jesus, am I driving them away? Well, that's what they do, is drive people away. Exactly. Whether you picked up on this or not, these are quotes right out of the book. So I didn't reword them for the study. I'm applying them to this situation. Right, it's a secular book, and so I'm trying to show you the Christian application of the things that he's teaching. So yes, there are some bullets that I probably would have reworded, but I chose not to, just so that you would see what the book says and then realize, okay, there's some adaptations that we make to put this in a Christian environment. Right. Yeah, you're not trying to make them happy. That's the difference. Yeah, it's not going to be real. Yeah, that's true. Did you have your hand up, Jack? That's right. Direct. Yeah, if they can start to see that they don't have to give stuff up, but that they get to give stuff up, that's even better. All right, our time is about up for today. Brian, would you lead us in closing prayer?
Thank you.
next week, we'll have a summary of what was